It's a great time just to reflect, to take some time to say thank you. And I hope that you took us up on the challenge last week to really think about, you know, sometimes it's easy to be thankful for the easy things, for the great things, for the obvious things, but sometimes it's harder to be thankful for those thorns in life, those things that are struggles that might not be seen as things to be thankful for. Today, we are going to be in the book of Galatians. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, you're welcome to turn there. We'll have the scriptures here up on the screen. And the title of today's message is The Whole Bowl. And as you guess, it might have something to do with what's sitting right here in front of me in this glass bowl and right next to this glass bowl. But it's called The Whole Bowl. And we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. I'll give you a little chance to get there. But I just wanted to kind of unpack this bowl a little bit. I've got an apple in here, all right? I've got bananas, all right? I've got a lime, okay? Let's see, what else is in here? We've got an orange, a peach, pineapple, some grapes, okay? Now, not rocket science, right? I mean, I'm sure any of you could have said, yes, Bo, your two-year-old could have said, okay, I know what those are. But I want to ask you this morning, when you look at these, you know, this is going to test maybe the horticulturalist in here. You know, we're not going to ask for the Latin names or anything, but what does an apple come off of? An apple tree. Man, you guys are great. Thank you. What does a banana come off of? A what? A banana tree. That's right. Yeah, these are not trick questions, I promise. A lime comes off a lime tree. Orange comes off of an orange tree. Peach comes off a peach tree. A pineapple comes off of what's considered a tree, but it's really low. And grapes come off of a vine. That's right, exactly, good. Now, okay, why run through where all this fruit comes from? Because you're not going to find apples and oranges on the same tree, are you? Okay. If you're a plant expert and you can graft it or whatever, don't talk about it right now. You're going to wreck my illustration, okay? You're not going to find apples and oranges. In fact, what do we say when we compare two totally separate things, right? It's like comparing apples to oranges. You're not going to get them off the same tree apart from some genetically enhanced crazy tree-ness out there, right? It's not going to happen. You're not going to find grapes growing off a banana tree. It's just not going to happen, right? Because the corresponding tree or the corresponding plant produces the corresponding fruit, right? This is really simple, but it's going to be really important for us this morning because in a couple of different ways. Because if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and by that what we mean is, if you believe that He is who God says He is, that He lived a sinless life, that He made no mistakes, He made no wrong choices ever in His life, If you believe that He died on a cross, but it wasn't just a man that died on the cross, but when He died on the cross, He took on your sin and my sin and all the sin of people past, all the sin of people present, all the sin of people way ahead of our time. That He took that on, and that when He died, He was put in a tomb, and on the third day He rose from the grave. That's what we mean by being a follower of Jesus Christ, that you not only believe that, but we confess it with our mouth, and we follow His teachings. And we follow everything that God tells us to do to the best of our ability. We don't do it perfectly, but to the best of our ability. That if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, then there should be some fruit in our life. Our life should produce something. There should be something that comes out of us naturally, just like an apple naturally comes out of an apple tree. Good, good. Man, you guys are sharp as a tack, I tell you. It's not that early, is it? Good. The message today is called The Whole Bowl. Because in life and in nature, it's natural for an apple tree to produce an apple and a banana tree to produce bananas and on and on and on and on. Grapevine to produce grapes. It's natural. But it is unnatural when we look around at the world around us for those trees to produce two kinds of fruit. Okay? Again, very simple. But a lot of times the message that God gives us is pretty simple. You know why that is? We need it. We just need it to be simple. Now there is depth there, and there's a lot to this, but it's actually pretty simple when you look at it. And that's what we need. Okay, I say we. I'm feeling better about myself when I say we, okay? But I really do think it's all of us that need a simple message. All right, Galatians. We're picking up in a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to the Galatians, okay? To the church of the Galatians. And these guys were struggling a little bit. And honestly, most of the time, if Paul or if there's going to be a letter written to a church, it's mostly because they're struggling. It's because they found the message, or somebody gave them the message of Jesus, what we call the gospel message, the life-saving message of Jesus. They found that. They received that. They began to follow it. But then they kind of got off track. A lot of times is when these letters are written that somebody, God inspires a guy named Paul in this case, to write a letter to this church to say, look, love ya, you need to correct the course a little bit. And what's happening here is some people have come in and they have said, all right, it's not just the message of Jesus that will save you, but if you want to really become a Christian, then you have to bear the mark of God's people. And this was for men in particular. Okay? Do you get where I'm going with this? If not, you can read about it earlier in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in Galatians 5:16. That you have to bear a physical mark on your body called circumcision. You have to bear a physical mark if you really want to be one of us. That's what you got to do. Okay? We're not talking to 8-day-year-olds either. We're talking to adults. And Paul comes along and says, now guys, that's really, really, really not necessary. And not only that, he says, they're not just talking about one law. They're talking about this law that God gave his people thousands of years before this, or a long time before this, that the people had to strive to follow with everything that they could. But this law kind of, the Bible tells us, it enslaved them. It was God's way for them to live, but man, no matter how hard they tried, they just couldn't live up to it. God sent his son Jesus to free us. He sent his son Jesus so that we could live a life that is led by God's very own Holy Spirit and enable us to live the Christian life. And we can only do that by the Holy Spirit. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says, now, if you're going to follow the law, then you're going to be a slave to the law. It's not that the law counts for nothing, but I've set you free. I've set you free for a life that's bigger than that. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. He says there's kind of these two things that rival within you. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says, you're getting off track, guys. Not only are you trying to turn to the law to earn your way to a right relationship with God, but you're also getting off track and you're starting to get back into some of the stuff that God set you free from. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. Paul's writing this letter saying, guys, you've gotten off track. You're trying to earn your way. You can't earn your way. It's only through Jesus. Jesus has set you free from striving to earn your way to a right relationship with God. And also, guys, I reminded you, there's a whole list here of things that you're really not supposed to be participating in, but you're starting to get back into some of those habits, you're starting to get back into some of those bad ways. you got to stay away from that. And instead of giving the people a complete list, he says, all right, here's a whole bunch of things to stay away from, and anything that's even close to similar to that, stay away from it. Instead, he says, if you want to live according to your carnal nature, then let this stuff into your life. But if you really want to live according to the Spirit, if you want God to have control of your heart, control of your life, if you want to please him, then here are the things that should be coming out of your life. In fact, here are the things that really should be pouring out of your life. And this is the list that we pick up. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. He says, against such things there is no law. Instead of making a list of things for that people can do, instead of saying, okay, always shovel your neighbor's walk, always mow your neighbor's grass, always keep your yard tidy, always do this, always do that, instead of a list of things for us to always do, he gives us things that should be pouring out of our heart. And the reason why the fruit in the bowl, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me ask you a question. When you read up there, Galatians 5:22, it didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It said the fruit of the Spirit. It said that if God's Spirit is present within you, within me, within anyone, then we can only have God's Spirit present within us if we confess our sin, ask Jesus to cleanse us of that sin, and follow him all of our days. It's the only way. If we've done that, if we do that, then there should be something naturally pouring out of our life. There will always be these other things that want to vie for our heart. There will always be these other things that want to tempt us. Now, you may look at the list and say, Bo, seriously, like promiscuity? Okay, not happening. Idolatry? Don't think so. I don't know. I love to hunt. I love my bow. Like, not talking about me in third person, but I love my bow and arrow. Okay? I know. I love to hunt. And if I'm not careful, honestly, if I'm honest with you, I can think about hunting just about 24 hours a day. And if I'm around the right people, I can talk about hunting just about 24 hours a day. I could relive old stories from 10 years ago 16 times and it not bother me one bit. If I'm not careful, I could let something as innocent, and it is innocent, by the way, something as innocent as an activity that I enjoy become an idol in my life. If you look at this list, and you think, all right, factions, what even is that? Drunkenness. I don't go out to the bars and get plastered every weekend. Okay, Bo, I'm doing pretty good. Paul's point is that there is always going to be something that is going to vie for your heart's attention and my heart's attention. It's always going to be there. There's a battle between living by the Spirit and living by what he calls the flesh, living according to those things that we think, you know what, man, that sure was a lot of fun sometimes. And then after we do it, we remember, oh, this is why I don't do that. He says there should be something that pours out naturally from our lives, and that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. We can't cover all those this morning, okay? But what we're going to do is, this is kind of an intro sermon. We're going to have a little series of messages about this fruit that's supposed to be in our lives, about this stuff that's supposed to pour out from our hearts. Because, you know, as we're walking around in this world, do we walk around in isolation, or do we walk around with other people around? We walk around this world and there's other people that we encounter daily. I don't care if you work from your home, you encounter somebody else. And if we're called followers of Jesus, and by the way, if you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I'm not a follower of Jesus, you're sort of off the hook from this point forward, okay? Just so you know, okay, it's all good. There's supposed to be something pouring out of our lives. And these things that are supposed to be pouring out of our lives, and you know what? They may not all be the most evident 100% of the time. And our personalities may have an effect on, you know what? Man, that is just a very patient person. And that, there's other people that may have, patience is a little bit shorter on their fruit list, okay? They may have a lime's worth of patience, okay? Especially when your children are going crazy, all right? Or maybe making bad decisions, you may feel like your patience is right here. Skin peeled off and halfway eaten, right? Like it may not present itself the same way and equally 9 different ways all the time. But I'm telling you, that Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, these are the things that should be pouring out of your life. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith and gentleness and self-control, all of these things. But you know, unlike the trees that we see all around us, maybe in your communities, that you see these fruit trees and you see the apples on them, or you don't really see a lot of bananas or orange trees or pineapples around or grapes. You know, okay, apples, but you see apples in our climate, right? You don't see anything else coming off of that tree but apples. See, the amazing thing about God is that He says, the fruit from your life, these are not, it's not like one person gets love, one person gets joy, one person gets peace. God says, no, 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 no. That's not it. He says, you guys get the whole bowl. And He places all of these things. The pineapple won't fit. But He places all of those things into your life and into my life. See, I told you it's going to be important to recognize what the fruit exercise we did earlier for two reasons. It's natural for an apple tree to produce apples, a banana tree to produce bananas, and so on and so forth. It should be natural for your life and my life as a follower of Jesus to produce love. But it's not like I produce love and you produce joy and you produce peace and you produce patience and you produce gentleness and you produce faith. You know, like that's not it. Each of us gets to produce all of these things. It should be evident in our lives. Again, I'll say it, and I'll say it many more times throughout this series. We're not going to do it all perfectly. And it's really not us that does it anyway. But all of these things, we get the whole bowl. God doesn't skimp. He gives us the whole bowl. And as we go about and as we look at love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith and gentleness and self-control, as we look at these things over the next few weeks, we're going to be asking some questions. It's going to be a good time for us as God's people to take an inventory of our life, to take an inventory of our heart and say, God, you know, I have not been patient. There has been a serious lack of joy in my life. Why is that? Like, if it really doesn't matter what circumstance I'm going through, then why? Where's the joy been? You know, our spouse may say, you have been seriously lacking some love lately. Coming my way. You know, maybe sometimes even better, it's not to give a personal inventory, but ask those closest to you to give an inventory. What have I been lacking in lately? Well, I got my list. God doesn't say, I'm going to give you one, or I'm going to pick a couple, three of these to give you. He gives them all. And these are the things that are supposed to come out of us. In fact, we have a class called G522 that Holly Prost teaches every Sunday. And it's for our tweens. And you know where G522 comes from? It comes from right here, Galatians 5:22. Because we want our children of Southwinds to know that these are the things that come out of people that follow Jesus. This is it. Right? And if we let them know now, and we help them practice those things now, hopefully it becomes more and more and more and more natural. That maybe, hopefully, they're light years ahead of where you and I are right now. G522. All right. It should be natural for those things to come out. And unlike the trees that we look around and see the fruit coming off of, it's not just one. It's all. Now, there's some other trees, and I won't talk about this long because, one, I need to let you, we need to probably go from this place in a few minutes. But there's something that just bugs me. Okay, can I just tell you that? It just bugs me. When I'm walking around in the spring and I'm looking at all these trees, and you guys know what happens in the spring, right? Like, we won't talk about what happens before spring, but we'll talk about what happens in spring, right? In spring, things are coming alive, and there's all these trees around, right? And there's these beautiful flowers on all these trees. I'm thinking, man, those are gorgeous. They're beautiful. And my wife, Rachel, she used to work at a place where they had a nursery, and they had a little tree farm and those kind of things. So I'll often ask her, so, okay, now remind me, what kind of tree is that? Crab apple. Awesome. Can you eat those? No. Well, I thought you could eat crab apples. Well, you can. You just can't eat them off that particular kind of crab apple tree. That's known as a non-edible crab apple tree. I'm saying, so it's a useless tree. Right? I've talked about this before, maybe a couple years ago, but it bugs me, right? Like, here's this tree that's got these beautiful blossoms, and then this fruit comes. It looks so good, but all you're supposed to do is let it fall to the ground and get caught up in your mower blades when you're mowing your grass. Like, it's awful. We're going to talk about that a little bit as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You see, we can even have some of this stuff that's mentioned in 19, 20, and 21 of Galatians chapter 5. Some of that stuff can creep into our life, and it can start to affect the fruit that's coming out of our life, the stuff that our heart is producing, and that's coming from our mouth, and that our life is showing. And it can look good, but man, it is inedible. Nobody wants it. It can look really good. We can keep a facade up pretty easily for a while. I'm telling you. What I want us to explore as we get into this series is, man, what is the fruit of my life? What sort of things are people encountering when I interact with them? Because they're supposed to be getting a little taste of you. It's not my love and my joy and my peace they're getting a little taste of. It's your love and your joy and your peace that they're getting a taste of. And that those things should be pleasing to them. It may be off-putting at first because they're not ready. Right? Like feeding a little baby solid food for the first time, like that little sour face. You know it's good for them, but it's kind of a sour face at first because that means, you know, I got to give up something that I really like right now to move on. We need to do an inventory. So take some time this week and just ask God to begin to inventory. And I want to ask you, one of the first questions is, how full is my bowl? You say you want it to overflow. You know, we just got done with Thanksgiving. You want it to be like a cornucopia, right? Like stuff just flowing out of this thing. And you want all these things to be present in my life. God, what does my bowl look like? Maybe there's a really healthy portion of peach, but man, I can't even find the grapes. What does my bowl look like? How full is my bowl? What are people tasting when they experience the fruit of my life? What are they tasting? Are they getting a good taste of you and what you want to put into your people and what you want to put into everyone? Are they getting a taste of some of this other junk that I'm putting in? And do I present well like the inedible fruit from the crab tree? God, am I just presenting well? And this is going to require us to get really honest with ourselves. But am I just presenting well? And as we go through and we look at all these attributes of a follower of Jesus, man, where is it in my life? And God, I need to depend upon you to put it there. Those are just a few questions. How full is my bowl? What are people tasting when they experience the fruit of my life? And do I present well like the inedible crab apple tree? Or am I really giving people a taste of who God is?